In the year 2012, FEMA conducted a multiple-agency mock drill scenario of a bomb exploding at the finish line of the Boston Marathon with the FBI, Secret Service, ATF, State Police, and a multitude of government agencies multi-coordinating the event from a bunker alongside the marathon course in Framingham. Almost exactly 1 year later, on April 15, 2013, the exact same scenario was played out in Boston at the finish line with the same multiple government agencies overlooking the marathon in the same exact bunker. Only this time, the drill was passed off as real. We were told by the corporate news media that two Muslim boys used children's toys to sophisticatedly remote detonate two shrapnel-contained pressure cooker bombs in backpacks exploding just seconds apart on Boylston Street during the Boston Marathon, in some instances causing jeans to be shredded but legs to miraculously remain intact. The bombing paralleled a government training exercise dubbed Operation Urban Shield. The scenario? Terrorists fleeing from police in a citywide chase, bombers tracked by street surveillance, false leads presented to keep investigators guessing, participants were recruited from Northeastern University, and the major clue of the exercise was finding the body of one of the terrorists near a stolen car. What a coincidence that the body of one Boston bomber was ran over by a Northeastern student's stolen car. Operation Urban Shield was canceled after the bombing because, well, the scenario already played itself out.
This is a pressure cooker bomb, similar to the bombs in Boston, and we're about to set it off.
3, 2, 1.
The material was flying out at faster than the speed of sound, faster than the speed of sound, faster than the speed of sound.
The bombs were described as supersonic, ripping through flesh like butter, but were not powerful enough to damage the tiny tree it was sitting next to, the mailbox it was sitting next to, the flags that lined up on Boylston Street, or even so much as knock over plastic cups and bottles sitting ever so gently on tiny round tables. This was a day when dozens of people snapped pictures of victims writhing in pain instead of helping those in distress. Some of those propaganda shots, photos from heroes, ended up on the front pages of newspapers, helping sell the sham, tragic event, to the entire nation. This man was a lifelong criminal who had more mugshots online than the Kardashians have selfies. But that's okay, he received the keys to the city of Boston, becoming an instant hero during the bombing for merely hanging out in the medical tent. Meet the lady in pink. Her name is Esther Epstein, and she's the vice chairman of the Anti-Defamation League. Seeing dozens of wounded victims fighting for their lives makes her pretty thirsty as she casually drinks on a bottle of water. Meet her husband, Bob Epstein. He's the owner of the Boston Celtics and the Abbey Group, the largest real estate developer in Boston. A happy stroll down Boylston, with carnage surrounding them, puts a smile on their faces. Hey, why not even go for a wheelchair ride, even though you can walk just fine? These are two of the most influential Jewish Bostonians, who are also personal friends of John Kerry, and were not presented as heroes by the national news media, while former criminals were. In fact, it was 2 entire years after the bombing when any mainstream news media outlet confirmed that the two were even at the finish line. I'm sure it had nothing to do with them helping coordinate the fraudulent event. This lady was denied access to the crime scene after she showed up late, wrapped in what is either hilariously loose tourniquets or the latest fashion trend. This girl left the crime scene immediately with no visible wounds on her thigh, but was later photographed a block down the street with a wound on her thigh. All in all, the government training exercise looked more realistic than the actual bombing.
The 30-acre facility on the lot of Stu Siegel Productions uses the magic of Hollywood to transform sterile training environments into dynamic recreations of any real-world situation that can be imagined. TV and movie special effects artists create realistic battlefield effects. Smoke, sound, and smell add the highest level of realism safely. For those preparing for combat, it becomes stress inoculation.
The goal of Urban Shield is to provide a multi-layered training exercise designed to enhance the skills and abilities of the region's first responders.
We want to do an exercise in Boston that's never been done before. We want to involve over 500 first responders in a 24-hour scenario.
The first bomb explodes just a few yards from the finish line.
We have multiple people down here, okay? I don't know what the cause is. Stand by.
Some of the patients that we've seen are amputation injuries, who had her leg blown off and had gross bleeding there. Good training for tourniquet application. We're also seeing blast frag injuries to the scalp. Very bloody, very messy, and eye-opening so that it can get people's tunnel vision in there, and that's good. The actors have been playing the role, not just laying there.
Who's got the blood coming right here?
We don't know.
Some of the best training we've ever given to our officers, firefighters, and EMTs in the entire city of Boston. It was phenomenal.
It was Patriots Day in Boston, a day used to commemorate the civilian militia's response to an overpowering tyrannical government. But on this day, instead of rising up and showing their strength, the civilians of Boston cowardly handed over their liberties with smiles on their faces to an overpowering tyrannical government, allowing them to lock down Boston, roll out tanks on their streets, place curfews, enter their homes at gunpoint, and point their guns at their children, all in the name of a search for one single teenager.
The dramatic scene played out in front of our cameras. Parents grabbing their children and running after spending the night hunkering in their houses and then finding themselves face to face with the muzzle of a SWAT officer's rifle.
It's a little stressful. It was a little stressful seeing these guys pointing big guns and you're holding your daughter in your arms, but they're doing the right thing. You know, they're trying to secure the neighborhood.
A teenager who, by the way, had a brother connected to the FBI and an uncle connected to the CIA. The uncle even having lived in the same house of senior CIA official Graham Fuller, the man who kickstarted the infamous Iran-Contra affair. But there's nothing suspicious, I suppose, about alleged perpetrators having ties to high-ranking CIA officials. After the bombing, the teenager didn't flee the country, let alone Boston, but instead hung out in Boston just doing what terrorists do after carrying out a terrorist attack. That is, casually buying a carton of milk, making random tweets, hanging out with friends, watching movies, and going to the gym to exercise.
Well, Ed, the city was still in lockdown. Lives had been lost, others changed forever, and the accused bomber heads to the gym.
After the bombing, his brother Tamerlan also remained snuggled up in Boston at his home, located just a few blocks down from the Boston FBI headquarters. The same FBI that, according to his mother, he was in communication with for years. The same FBI that had agents all over the marathon prior to the bombing. The same FBI that had agents escorting non-participants away. The same FBI that conducted an investigation into the bombing. And the same FBI that allowed the tampering of crime scene evidence. This blue bag. The pirate's hat, yes, it ended up on this blue bag. And this blue bag is significant to determining that the crime scene was completely fabricated. The blue bag was added to the scene after the event was over. And this is an overwhelming smoking gun example of government treason, stagecraft, and tampering of the crime scene. So after the bombing, the head of the NYPD bomb squad blatantly lied on national TV about this blue bag.
With the NYPD bomb squad, Kevin Barry. Kevin, thank you for joining us this morning. We really do appreciate it.
There may be live explosives in the area. That's why they're fully encapsulated. If you note, you'll also see an object blue in the center of the picture. That blue object is sitting in the seat of the explosion. It was not there at the time of the explosion, may have been pulled into that hole by a negative blast wave after the original explosive wave went outward. There's a negative wave that pulls objects back into the scene of the seat of the explosive.
If because of the Boston bombing, you were fearful that terrorist attacks could become commonplace in the United States, have no fear, because the Boston bombing was just a drill, passed off as real, replete with fake blood, crisis actors, and as many Israeli and U.S. military intelligence agents that you'd see in the Middle East. And just remember, if they can do it in Boston, in front of thousands of people in broad daylight, they can do it anywhere.